Good morning. It is Sunday, March the 21st, and we're studying the 1689 London Baptist Confession. And this morning we're going to start out with chapter 27 on the communion of saints after a prayer. And then we're going to sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken, 377. But Father, we come to you this morning seeking your mercy and your grace, because we know that we're sinners, and we ask that you'll identify those areas in our life where we've shorted you and that you'll make correction. We ask, Lord, that you help us to worship you, that your word would be embedded in our minds and that it would change our lives this morning and that it would bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought and hoped and known. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven still my own. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, thou art not like men untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends may shun me, show thy face and all is bright. Man may trouble and distress me, 'twill but drive me to thy breast. Life with trials and hard may press me, and will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me, while thy love is left to me. Oh, 'twere not mine joy to charm me, were that joy unmixed with thee. Hasten on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Heaven's eternal days before me, God's own hand shall guide me there. Soon shall close my earthly mission, swift shall pass my pilgrim's days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight and prayer to praise.
I'm just looking at the words. Let the world despise and leave me, for I have left my Savior too. Man may trouble and distress me. That was written almost 200 years ago.
And you could hear the heart.
You can.
Oh my goodness.
So we're in chapter 27. Paragraph 1. All saints are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by his Spirit and by faith. although this does not make them one person with him. They have fellowship in his graces, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. Since they are united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces and are obligated to carry out these duties, both public and private, in an orderly way to promote their mutual good, both in the inner and outer aspects of their lives. Well, Stephen, 1 John 1:3, Dave, John 1:16, Diane, Philippians 3:10, Thomas, Romans 6:5 through 7, Lois, Ephesians 4:15 and 16, Carol, 1 Corinthians 12:7, Susie, 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23, Rick, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 through 14, Bill, Romans 1:12, Cherie, 1 John 3:17 and 18, and Pastor Pete, Galatians 6:10.
One for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 1:3. This is the message. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Oh, that wasn't three, was it? That was five. Sorry, my eyes are playing tricks on me. We shall proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's what happens when you steal somebody's seat. Oh, and you're out of place.
I got that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Yeah, you're the best.
John 1:16. Indeed, we all have received grace after grace from his fullness.
Okay. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 6:5-7. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin.
All right.
Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every growing, supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love, by the proper working of each individual part.
1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
1 Corinthians 3:21-23. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians 5:11-14. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all.
Romans 1:12. I mean that our walk can help each other with the faith that we have, that we may be mutually encouraged and comforted by each other's faith, both yours and mine.
1 John 3:17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth.
All right.
Galatians 6:8-10. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
All right. So we should help each other, right? Mm-hmm. A lot to that. Share gifts, all that stuff. Paragraph 2. Saints by profession are obligated to maintain a holy fellowship in communion and worshiping God and in performing other spiritual services that promote their mutual edification. They are to aid each other in material things according to the various abilities and needs. They should especially exercise communion in the relationships they have in their families and churches. Yet the rule of the gospel also directs them, as God provides opportunity, to extend their sharing to the whole household of faith, to all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, their communion with one another as saints does not take away or infringe on the title or individual ownership that people have in their goods and possessions. So I guess whenever you say, here, take my lawnmower, it's still my lawnmower. I don't know.
That's very not Acts, right? The beginning of the church? Where they had everything?
Yeah, they just gave it all up.
Yeah, they had everything in common. That'll be interesting.
Except for the lawnmower.
Hmm?
Except for the lawnmower.
And the Camaro.
And the Camaro. And the Camaro.
The Camaro.
I'm showing how bad I am. All right. Stephen, Hebrews 10:24-5. And Dave, Hebrews 3:12-13. Diane, Acts 11:29-30. Thomas, Ephesians 6:4. Lois, get a long one. 1 Corinthians 12:14-27. And Carol, Acts 5:4. And Susie, Ephesians 4:28.
Hebrews 10, and I'm going to start at 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more of you see the day approaching.
Okay.
Hebrews 3:10. For it was fitting in bringing many sons to glory, that he for whom and through whom all things exist should make the source of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will sing hymns to you in the congregation. Again, I will trust in him, and again, here I am with the children God gave me.
Are you in Hebrews 3?
Yeah, it looked like it to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in two.
That's okay.
But thank you for that.
That's what happens when you're not sitting in the right place.
Sure.
Matt, let me do that again. I just like reading the Bible, so I can just go wherever I want.
It's all good.
Are we in the communion of the saints?
So we'll take one to the right, Steve.
I may have liked that one better than I'm going to like this other one. Okay. Where was I? Hebrews 3:12-13. Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception.
All right.
13, I didn't do 13 yet. I did do that, never mind. I'm going home now.
Okay. Acts 11:29-30. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul.
Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
1 Corinthians 12:14-27. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But God now has placed each one of the parts in one body, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is not honored, all the members is honored. Excuse me. If all the members is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And the God has placed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, managing, various kinds of languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way.
All right. Acts 5:4.
While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it? This is talking about Ananias. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have not conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Right.
Ephesians 4:28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need.
All right. Any comment on the communion of the saints? Okay.
Kind of interesting that they didn't include more of Ephesians 4.
Yes.
Each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love,
mm-hmm.
you would think would have been.
Yep. All right, we're going to move on to chapter 28. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Paragraph 1. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of positive and sovereign institution. They are appointed by the Lord Jesus, the only lawgiver, and are to be continued in his church to the end of the age. So, I think I left off Rick, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Bill, 1 Corinthians 11, 26. And then we've got another paragraph.
In Matthew 28, I'm going to read 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
1 Corinthians 11:26, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again."
All right. And paragraph 2. "These holy appointments are to be administered only by those who are qualified and called to administer them according to the commission of Christ." And Cherie, Matthew 28:19. Pastor Pete, 1 Corinthians 4:1.
"Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit."
Well, that's what he told the disciples to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Qualified people.
1 Corinthians 4:1, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God."
All right. That's pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 29, baptism. "Baptism is an ordinance of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ. To those baptized, it is a sign of their fellowship with him in his death and resurrection, of their being grafted into him, of remission of sins, and of submitting themselves to God through Jesus Christ to live and walk in newness of life." Stephen, Romans 6, 3 through 7. And Dave, Colossians 2:12. Diane, Galatians 3:27. Thomas, Mark 1:4. Lois, Acts 22:16. Carol, Romans 6:4.
Okay, Romans 6:3-5. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this is in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection."
Colossians 2:12. "Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead."
Mm-hmm.
Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Okay.
Mark 1, I'm going to do 4 and 5. "John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins."
Okay.
Acts 22:16. And now why delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins by calling on his name.
Okay, so that's one of the pet verses for some other denominations that claim that baptism saves you, that it's necessary to complete the process. Just so you know, your sins are washed away by calling upon his name. Your sins are not washed away by the water. Otherwise, you wouldn't need Jesus.
No, and the thief on the cross next to him, Jesus would have jumped off that cross and baptized him.
Jesus was baptized and he didn't have any sins to wash away.
That's true.
That's true.
All right. Where do we leave off, Carol?
Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life.
All right. Paragraph 2. Those who personally profess repentance toward God and faith in and obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ are the only proper subjects for this ordinance. I read a long story last night about a guy that was raised in he called it an Arminian church in Iraq, I think. And he was baptized as a baby. His parents, you know, reminded him often that he had been baptized. And in that, in the Armenian church, that's what they believed. You're saved because you were baptized as a baby. And he lived for many years until one day somebody showed him a Bible. And I said, no, that's not the way it works. Anyway.
So having said that, R.C. Sproul believes in infant baptism. Mm-hmm. And I've never actually listened to his explanation.
Oh, yeah.
So what would be his explanation for infant baptism?
Yeah, there's a few things that R.C. does there. One of them is that they don't baptize the way we do. It's not by immersion. He will accept baptism from other people or other churches if you're a believer. If it's believer's baptism, he will do that. And a lot of people have argued with R.C., and the big thing that they point out that he cannot overcome is there is no record, there's no word, there's no teaching, there's no letter in Scripture that talks about infant baptism. It's not there. So
it replaced circumcision as a rite.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's the only explanation.
Yes, it's an identifier. Yes. But I have a video of R.C. talking on that very deal. As a matter of fact, there's a whole panel of guys up there, and they pick on him pretty hard.
That's a good sport.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And let's see, we're up to Pastor Pete. Mark 16:16. Of all things. And then you probably can spend the next half hour telling us about the longer ending of Mark that should end at verse 8. Anyway. Stephen, Acts 8:36-37. Dave, Acts 2:41. Diane, Acts 8:12. Thomas, Acts 8:18-8. All right.
Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized
will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And it doesn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized.
Right. So it's the belief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Acts 36 and 37, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is the water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him.
Good that they gave orders to stop the chariot first,
yeah,
right?
Kind of hard to get off.
Okay.
Acts 2:41. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them.
Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized.
Acts 18:8. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized.
All right. And paragraph 3, the outward element used in this ordinance is water, in which the individual is to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lois, Matthew 28:19-20. That one keeps on showing up a lot. Carol, Acts 8:38. Whenever you're ready.
Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even always to the end of the age.
All right.
Acts 8:38 again. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him.
All right. Paragraph 4, immersion or dipping of the person in water is necessary for this ordinance to be administered properly. Susie, Matthew 3:16-17, and Rick, John 3:23.
Matthew 3:16-17, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased."
John 3:23-24. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison.
All right. Wow, we're moving right along this morning. Any questions, comments?
Can a person be baptized by just another believer, not a minister?
I think it would be better if it was a person of authority, an elder. I don't see anything in Scripture that prevents it. So it's not prohibited, and I know that's a dangerous way to go sometimes. Whenever you, one of my bosses used to tell me, don't write by exception or report by exception. It doesn't say not to do it, you know. But I think it would be better if it was a person of authority, an elder.
Okay.
But I don't see anything that prevents it.
Can I speak to that?
Mm-hmm.
Please. I think that, you know, what we have done here at Family Bible Church is we've encouraged fathers to baptize their own children.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm. They're the spiritual heads of their family.
Mm-hmm.
And, so from an authority standpoint, that would be the first jurisdiction.
What an honor that would be.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful to see our son baptize his wife first and later his oldest too.
Yeah.
The night before our son's wedding, we did have a pastor there at the time, but both our son and his fiance at the time wanted to be baptized also. So Dave baptized our son, and Buddy baptized Noel.
Yeah.
It was a precious time.
I was lucky I got to baptize my nephew because he doesn't have a dad that's involved, and got to baptize my children.
Right. Moving on to chapter 30, the Lord's Supper. Paragraph 1. The Supper of the Lord Jesus was instituted by him the same night that he was betrayed. It is to be observed in his churches to the end of the age as a perpetual remembrance and display of the sacrifice of himself in his death. It is given for the confirmation of the faith of all believers in all benefits of Christ's death, their spiritual nourishment and growth in him, and their further engagement in and to the duties they owe him. The supper is to be a bond and pledge of the communion with Christ and each other. All right, Stephen, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. Dave, 1 Corinthians 10, 16, actually you could do 16-21.
Corinthians 11:23-26. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. No one can seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbelievers invite you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone asks to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it. Both for the sake of the man who told you, for conscience sake, the other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another conscience? If I take part in the meal with thanksgiving, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for?
Are you in 11:23-26?
I am not.
Okay.
But it did sound good.
Thanks,
you're welcome. I didn't do that. That was my boo-boo. Okay, 11:23. Don't gun me anyway. And I get to go a little bit longer. My eyes must be just
going crazy. I understand that.
For I have received from the Lord that I also pass on to you the Lord Jesus. And on the night he had been betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the meat or eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
All right.
First Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For all of us share that one bread. Look at the people of Israel. And are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What am I saying then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I do say that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot share in the Lord's table and the table of demons.
All right. Paragraph 2. In this ordinance, Christ is not offered up to his Father, nor is any real sacrifice made at all for remission of sin in the living or the dead. It is only a memorial of the one offering Christ made of himself on the cross once for all. It is also a spiritual offering of the highest possible praise to God for that sacrifice. Thus, the Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic sacrifice of the Mass, as they call it, is utterly detestable and detracts from Christ's own sacrifice, which is the only propitiation for all the sins of the elect. So the Reformers really took exception with what the Catholic Church does, having a repeated Mass and putting Jesus back up on the cross. Once was enough. He took care of it. The first time, it's not going to be repeated. He's not getting back up on the cross. And
how they through the incense and through the bells,
mm-hmm.
they're summoning.
Yes.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
They're summoning Christ to come and become the elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outrageous.
Yep. Yes, it is. All right. Diane, Hebrews 9, 25 through 28. Thomas, 1 Corinthians 11, 24. Lois, Matthew 26, 26 through 28.
You want me to go ahead? Excuse me. Hebrews, and I'm starting at 9:23.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself. And as it appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
All right.
Matthew 26:26 and 27. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them. And he said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that is established at the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins."
All right, and I'm going to do one more paragraph, and then we'll call it quits. Paragraph 3. In this ordinance, the Lord Jesus has appointed his ministers to pray and bless the elements of bread and wine in this way, to set them apart from a common to a holy use. They are to take the bread, to take and break the bread, take the cup, and give both to the communicants while also participating themselves. So, Carol, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. I'll stop there.
"For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'"
All right. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that some of the confusion around these things might have been dispelled. If not, I ask that you bring them up and that we would consider them and go to your word to get things corrected. As we go into the next room, Lord, I ask that we'll worship you in the way that you see fit, that your word will be proclaimed by Pastor Pete, as we know it will. And I ask your blessing on us. And again, Lord, that you would extend mercy and grace to us as sinners. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.